This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And I want to go to the book of James. Start in the book of James. Go with me to James chapter 5. When you have James chapter 5, just hold it on your lap. Last few weeks, the Lord has really been calling me to a very concentrated time of prayer. The Lord has really been dealing with my heart and speaking to my heart. Tim, you really need to press in prayer. And the Lord has really had me pressing in prayer. And in this place of prayer, the Lord's been speaking some things to my heart. And one of the things that He's really been speaking to my heart is about warfare praying, about interceding, about praying for the things that are upon God's heart. See, brothers and sisters, that's what an intercessor is. An intercessor is simply one that just really walks close to the heart of the Lord. And because he walks close to the heart of the Lord can share the things that are on his heart. The Lord can share the desires in his heart, things that he wants to do. The Lord can share the burdens that are on his heart with those people that walk close to him. And you feel those desires, you feel those burdens, you feel those impressions that God places upon the heart. And you go to that place of prayer and you really begin to pray the mind of God. You really lay your life down in prayer because you know there's something that God wants to do. And as you are faithful to pray the things that are upon God's heart, God moves through your prayers and he performs those things that are upon his heart that he wants to do. Brothers and sisters, we need to know this morning that there are so many things on the Lord's heart that he wants to do if he can find a people that will believe him and lay their lives down in prayer and really go to the battlefield of prayer, trusting and believing the Lord to do the things that are upon his heart. Now look with me at James chapter 5. I want to look at a familiar verse. Look with me at verse 16. Verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." And the last part's very powerful. It says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I just want to break that statement down into three parts as the Lord just put it upon my heart. First of all, it says the effectual fervent prayers. What are effectual fervent prayers? We can describe this a few ways. But what's really upon my heart is simply this. Effectual fervent prayers are prayers that are prayed in faith. That when you really believe God hears your prayers and that he desires to answer your prayers, there's going to be an unction when you pray. There's going to be a fervency when you pray. There's going to be life behind your prayers and in your prayers when you pray, because there's something in your heart that says God is hearing my prayers and God is going to answer my prayers. It says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man. What is a righteous man? We know that when we're born again and saved, we know that we're covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That we are in him and we have his righteousness and we're covered in his righteousness. And you can't add or take away to that righteousness. But brothers and sisters, there's something else that we have to understand. A righteous man is simply one that guards and protects their heart. A righteous man, a righteous woman is one that is sure and as certain to keep their hearts clean before the Lord. A righteous man or righteous woman is someone that won't let little things come into their heart, but their hearts are open. Their hearts are sincere. Their hearts are humble before the Lord. And they let God deal with that heart upon the grounds of truth. It's a heart that's open to the dealings of God. And the dealings, when your heart is open to the dealings of God and you desire just to keep your heart clean before the Lord and your heart clean with your brothers and sisters, the gentle dealings of God are very gentle in our life. That's a righteous man, one who keeps their heart clean before the Lord. It says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. Avail much simply means the prayers of a righteous man has much power. God powerfully moves when they pray. God performs miracles when his people pray. And this is what the Lord has been strongly impressing upon my heart through this scripture. What the Lord has been speaking to my heart is simply this. Tim, there are so many battles that are waiting to be won in prayer. There are so many battles that I'm just waiting to give the victory that through prayer if my people would just go to the battlefield and pray. Tim, there's so much ground I desire to take. Tim, there's so many strongholds I'm ready to tear down and I'm ready to destroy. If I can just find a people that will believe me, that will believe that I hear and I answer their prayer, and they go to that place of prayer and they lay their lives down in prayer. The Lord's really been speaking that to my heart. There are so many victories right now waiting to be won in prayer. He says to Joshua, arise and go every place that the sole of your foot will step upon. He said, I've given that to you. Joshua, I've given it to you, but yet you have to step upon it. You have to go to the battlefield. But if you'll go to the battlefield, I am ready to give you that ground. I am ready to give you that victory. And brothers and sisters in Christ, there are so many things God is ready to do now if His people will press in and pray. Pray. And one of the things the Lord's really been speaking to my heart is, Tim, you need to see that there are battles to fight. My people need to see that there are battles to fight. You know, we've been having Tuesday night Bible studies going through the life of Elisha, and God has really been ministering to our hearts out of the life of Elijah. And one time in one of our Bible studies, someone brought a revelation out of the life of Elisha that the Lord has really been using to grab a hold of my heart and speak to my heart. And I just want to show you that and share it with you. I want you to go with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. Look with me at verse 14. It says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hands upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said to the king, he said, open the window eastward. So let me just give you a brief background of this scripture. Elisha is old and he's on his deathbed. And King Joash, the king of Israel, comes to him and he's in great distress. The Bible says that he's weeping, but he's not weeping because Elisha's dying and he really loves the prophet. He's weeping because at this time he and his kingdom is in great distress. And he knows that the secret and the source of Israel's victories have been through this man's ministry, Elisha, while Elisha has been alive. And now Elisha is about to die. And the king comes to him in great distress because at this time the Assyrian army has come in. They're a very brutal, savage people. And they have taken land in Israel, and a lot of the people in Israel are being oppressed by the Assyrians. And so King Joash comes to him and he's in great distress because more than ever, the people of God need him now. They need him now more than ever, and he's about to die. And he comes and he pours his heart out to Elisha. And God has mercy upon this king named Joash. God gives Elisha a word. So Elisha says to this king, he says to him, take up a bow and an arrow. And when he takes up the bow and the arrow, Elisha takes his feeble hands, his old trembling hands, and he places it on top of King Joash's hands. And what he's saying to Joash is simply this, Joash, this Assyrian invasion, this Assyrian army is too powerful for you. They're too strong for you. They're too mighty for you. But King Joash, God will be your strength. The Ancient of Days will be your strength. Joash, if you will just put your eyes upon the Lord and turn your heart to the Lord and trust the Lord with all of your heart, God's going to give you the victories. God's going to give you the strength to defeat your enemies. And then he says to King Joash, he says to him, open the window. So in other words, after he gives him this word of assurance and gives him this word of comfort, he tells him to open the window. And what he's saying to this king is this, Joash, you need to see that there are battles that need to be fought now. You need to see that there is an enemy and he's come into your land and he's reaping havoc. You see it, but I've given you a word of comfort. Now you need to see, Joash, that there are battles that you need to go and that you need to fight. And this has been a so cry of my heart. The Lord has so birthed this in my heart. That Tim, there are so many battles that you need to see. You need to get up and you need to arise and that you need to fight. You need to fight in prayer. And the cry that has been in my heart is, oh God, help me to see. Help me to see that there are battles that need to be fought. Help me to see that there are enemies that need to be defeated. Help me to see that there are strongholds that you are ready to tear down. There are strongholds that need to be torn down in people's lives. And give me a heart for the battle. But not only help me to see that there are battles to be fought, but more important, help me to see that you are ready to win these victories. Help me to see that you are ready to tear down these strongholds, that you're ready to pull down these strongholds. Lord, help me to see that you're ready to take this ground. If you can just find a people that will press in, lay a hold of you, go to that battle place of prayer and begin to pray. God, there are so many victories that are waiting to be won. Help me to see it. I truly believe the reason why the church doesn't pray like it should is because we really don't understand there are battles that need to be won. There are battles that need to be fought. And we've let ourselves get so entangled in this world and our society, and that's the reason why the least attended meeting in the church is the prayer meeting. Hardly anybody comes. And the reason why hardly anybody comes is because we really don't understand there are battles that God is waiting to win if His people would pray. Amen. Amen. So many battles. And we just need to see, God, there are battles to be fought. But here is something that the Lord's really been impressing upon my heart, and this is where the title of the message comes from. There is a price to pay in prayer to see the enemy's unconquerable strongholds destroyed. And that price is prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Are you with me this morning? Something a lot of people don't like to hear. The flesh don't like to hear that. It's uncomfortable, literally uncomfortable. But there is a price to pay. And it's called prayer and fasting. And I want to show you this. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17. This is what the Lord's really been dealing with my heart on. And this is where this whole message came about. Just in a time of really seeking the Lord and praying. This is just something that He really put upon my heart and He opened up to me. And I really want to share it with you this morning. Just hope that you see it also the way the Lord gave it to me. Let me tell you the background of Matthew chapter 17. Jesus comes off the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's this very desperate father that comes to Jesus because he has a son that's demon-possessed. He has a son that's being destroyed, who's trying to destroy his son, and he loves his son very much, and he's so distressed. And he brought his son to Jesus' disciples, and Jesus' disciples couldn't cast the demon out. His disciples couldn't bring the deliverance that they needed. So as you read the story, Jesus takes matters in His own hands. He intervenes in the situation. And He sets this little demoniac boy free from the powers of the enemy. He opens the prison door. And I want to take up the story at verse 19. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. It says, then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said unto Him, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Then verse 21, this is what I want to focus on for a moment. Jesus says, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So Jesus says, this kind of strong man, this kind of stronghold, the tie, the yoke, the prison door, the bondage, it doesn't break apart from a life of prayer and fasting. Now hear what Jesus says. Please, everybody, just keep your attention on me a moment. Don't let yourself get distracted. This is a very important point. Jesus says, this kind goes not out, but by prayer and fasting. So in other words, what Jesus is saying is this. It doesn't matter how much truth you proclaim to it. Doesn't matter how many times you invoke the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter how many times you invoke the name of Jesus, this kind of bondage, this kind of stronghold is not going to be broken apart from a life of prayer and fasting. That's what he's saying. This kind. Doesn't matter how much oil you put on the person. Doesn't matter how many times you sing and march around the building. This kind is not going to be broken apart from a life of prayer and fasting, this kind. Now here's what really struck my heart. Look with me at verse 21 again. It says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And that word kind, this is what we need to understand, because this is where the Lord really got a hold of my heart. This word kind, it's a Greek word that's also used for the word generation. It's also used for the word age. So I believe, looking at this, what Jesus is saying is, these strongholds and powers that have wrapped its claws around this generation will not be broken apart from a life of prayer and fasting. Jesus is saying the darkness and the deception and the power that has gripped this generation will not be broken except through a life of prayer and fasting, consecration to the Lord. That's what he's saying. Brothers and sisters, remember in Matthew chapter 12, the religious leaders of the day come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, show us a sign that you are the Son of God. We need a sign if we're going to believe. And Jesus literally brings a word of condemnation to them because of their unbelief. The Lord says to them, Nineveh will rise up in judgment against this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and a greater than Jonas is here. That was Jesus' response to their statement of unbelief. And then immediately after Jesus says that, he gives a parable. He says an unclean spirit leaves a house, talking about a person, leaves a house and he seeks about dry places. And because he can't find dry places, he takes seven more evil spirits with him and he goes back to the place that he's inhabited. And then Jesus says, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. This is what Jesus, how Jesus responded to their unbelief. He says, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So Jesus is saying this, because you have so hardened your heart to truth, the spirit of unbelief has taken hold of your minds. This generation is so bound by the spirit of unbelief because of the hardness of your hearts. And brothers and sisters, I believe we're living in this time. I believe we're living in a generation where people have so hardened their hearts to truth that their minds have been captivated and gripped by the spirit of unbelief. And the only thing that's going to break that spirit is a life that's given to prayer and fasting. And that spirit has crept into the church. In Matthew 17, the same story. Jesus looks at them and says, you could not bring deliverance because of your unbelief. That spirit has crept into the church. I believe this morning, much of the church has been gripped by the spirit of unbelief. Well, how can you say that? Listen, I've been preaching on this the last few weeks. You just have to bear with me because it's on my heart to say it again. It's so much in my heart to say it again. I know the church has been gripped with the spirit of unbelief because we've lost so much of our faith in the power of the cross. We really don't believe anymore that the cross is the answer to destroying the dominion of sin over people's lives. We sing about the cross, we put it on our bulletins, but we really don't believe. What is the evidence we really don't believe? Because we brought in so much of the world to try to help Jesus build his church. We brought in so much of worldly entertainment, worldly theatrics. We brought in so much worldly psychology to try to help Jesus build his church, because we've lost the faith in the fact that the preaching of the cross to them that do not believe is foolishness, but unto us that believe it is the power of God. It's all this unbelief in our hearts that we think that we have to bring in the world to help Jesus build his church. And what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that only a life of prayer and fasting will break these kind of strongholds over the life of the church. Amen. There's never been a time that the Lord's people should be pressing in and praying. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I truly believe Paul describes the last day generation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, he says, this know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Brothers and sisters, I know that we're living in this generation. We're living in this place. And I believe with all my heart, the only thing that's going to break these kind of strongholds is a life given to prayer, a life given to fasting, really seeking and laying hold of the Lord. But I also, looking at this, I also feel a victory in my heart. I feel a promise of victory in my heart. I feel the Lord saying, Tim, if you will just pay the price in prayer, you will see so many victories and miracles take place if you'll just pay the price in prayer. Now, there's something else from Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, I really want us to see. Go with me right back to Matthew chapter 17. Please hear my heart. I'm not upset at anyone. I'm just very passionate about this. Very passionate. God has been really calling me into that place of prayer and interceding in every single day of my life. Since the Lord has been dealing with my heart, I've been going to that battleground and been going to that place of prayer and just really interceding for the things on God's heart. And I can really feel the Lord moving in my prayers. God will move when His people pray. Now listen, don't even attempt a life of prayer and fasting if you don't have a life with God. There's no need to even try to be an intercessor. First of all, you have to have that place of prayer with God where it's you ministering to His heart. That devotional life where you daily say, God, I'm just here for You. I'm here to love You. I'm here to seek Your face. I'm here to get into the Word and just walk with You. It's the intimates that God uses. And there are times He will call you to that battlefield because there are things on His heart to do in prayer. Now look with me at Matthew chapter 17. Look with me at verse 19. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. So let me ask you a question. What was their hindrance here? Unbelief. God has never had problems setting people free from the enemy. That's what he came to do. The only problem he's ever had is the unbelief in the heart of his church. That's the problem that he has when it comes to setting the captives free. So the Lord reveals that the hindrance is their unbelief, and then He spoke about prayer and fasting. And this is my point about prayer and fasting. There are going to be times when you feel the Lord calling you to a time of prayer and fasting, that the Lord's going to want to speak to you about the things that are in your heart, the issues that are in your heart. There are going to be times the Lord's going to say, I need to deal with something in your heart, because if I don't, it could grow and become a hindrance in your prayer life. Don't be surprised when you're really seeking the Lord in prayer and fasting and the Lord says, we're not interceding today. We're here to talk about your heart. We're here to talk about something that's gotten into your heart. As you have set yourself to this concentrated time with me and your heart is really open to hear what I want to say, we're going to talk about your heart. And of course, the dealings of God are very gentle when our hearts are open to the Lord. So sometimes seasons of prayer and fasting isn't about interceding. It's about the Lord dealing with our hearts and things that are in our hearts. There's another powerful scripture regarding prayer and fasting that I think the church body needs to see. Go with me to Acts chapter 13. Look with me at verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So looking at these scriptures, Acts 13, 1 through 3, we see that this little prayer meeting is made up of church leadership, and it's made up of a few people that really have a heart to see the kingdom of God go forward in prayer. And what they're doing, when you look at it, is really obvious to me. They're ministering to the Lord, but they're also seeking the Lord's direction. I truly believe they're sensing in their heart that God has something on his mind he wants to do now through this church. And so they're going to that place of prayer and fasting, and what they're saying is, Lord, we feel strongly that there's something on your heart. There's something you are wanting us to do as a church. Lord, we are leading. We desire your leading and your guidance. We are more hungry for your will to be revealed to us than we're hungry for food. And we're fasting because we sense you want to do something and we desire your leading. Brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand is one of the greatest moves of God that ever took place in our world today started out at this little prayer meeting with just a few people. It was at this prayer meeting that the Lord began to put His hand upon Paul's life and call Paul to be an evangelist to the nations. And Paul's life is still speaking to us today. Paul's life is still having a great impact upon the kingdom of God today. And what I'm simply saying to us as a church, Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit, it's so important that we seek the Lord together. It's so important that we understand God has a vision for this church and He has a purpose for this church and He's looking for a people that have the same burden and have the same heart. More than anything else in the world, their job's not the most important thing in the world to them. Their hobbies and their agendas isn't the most important thing in the world to them. Seeing God's kingdom go forth on this earth is the most important thing in the world to them. And the evidence of that, as a body, they have a heart to desire to come together and get God's mind and get God's heart and find God's direction for His church. And when God has a church like that, listen, this is only a little prayer meeting. And God still moved powerfully, still impacting the world today. And I believe with all my heart, if we would just still have His burden and open our eyes and see that there are battles that are to be fought and there are battles that need to be won and come together as a church and pray, we will see God use this church in ways that we never even thought of. It hasn't even entered into our heart and our mind what God wants to do when we care about His kingdom more than anything else. Amen. Amen. A little plug right here. I say this in love. Our prayer meetings here at Mount Zion are Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to apologize for the word. That's the kind of people the Lord is looking for. If His kingdom is really on your heart, the Lord is saying, I have so many battles are waiting to be won in prayer if my people will pray. Now right here, I just need to bring this out. I just need to bring this out. Okay, you've talked about prayer and fasting, the power of prayer and fasting. Well, how do I fast? How do I fast? Well, there's just three things I just want to bring out real clear, I feel, from the Lord. First of all, long fast should be led of the Lord. Should be led of the Lord. Listen, if you're not a person who's used to prayer and fasting, you don't have a life of prayer and fasting, don't start with long fast. Start with disciplined fast. Well, what's a disciplined fast? A disciplined fast is a meal, maybe two meals. Start with that. See, a lot of people get in the zeal of their flesh and they go into long fast and what they end up doing is getting sick because they're moving in the zeal of the flesh. So if you don't have a life of prayer and fasting, never lived a life of prayer and fasting, but you feel like it's something the Lord might be calling you to do, don't start with long fast. Just start with one meal. Start with a breakfast. Start with a lunch. Just really be led by the Lord. Secondly, how do we fast? Number two, pray and fast with understanding. In other words, study the scriptures where men and women of God prayed and fasted and look at what brought them to that place of prayer and fasting. And look at what God did through their life of prayer and fasting. If you don't know anything about prayer and fasting, that's all right. But the scriptures, God clearly teaches us these things in the scriptures. What led men to pray and fast? How we move through prayer and fasting? Look at the scriptures. Maybe there's someone here today and says, Pastor Tim, I've always heard about prayer and fasting and I desire to do it, but I just don't understand it. And that is very understandable. But there are so many places in the Bible where the people saw their need to really lay a hold of God in prayer. And you see what God did through those prayers. Just go to the Word and ask the Lord, Lord, just show me. You teach me what's on your heart. You teach me what is on your heart. Now, I want to say it again. If you don't have a devotional life with the Lord, don't even think about interceding with prayer and fasting. You first need to have your own personal walk with God. It's the people that know their God. That's intimacy that will be strong and do exploits. So fast with understanding. Secondly, pray and fast in obedience. Remember, the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. You know, here at the Bible school, I believe the students are allowed to fast three meals. I don't think you can fast meals back to back. Maybe a meal Monday, maybe a meal Tuesday, maybe a meal Wednesday. Always fast in obedience. Whatever the Lord says, whatever your leadership, however your leadership, the standards they have put down, you need to fast in obedience to the Lord. Don't get in the zeal of your flesh. God doesn't honor the zeal of the flesh. He honors obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. So talking about praying and fasting, I really need to bring that out. You know, if you're not, don't have a life of it, start with a disciplined fast. Maybe one meal, maybe two meals. If you don't understand prayer and fasting, that's fine, understandable. Scriptures are full of examples, and God would teach through them. And thirdly, always fast in obedience. Now, there's just one more scripture I want to look at. If we're going to be an intercessor and really pray, really share God's heart and pray for the things that are on God's heart, one of the key ingredients we need is a strong life in the Word of God. The Word of God and intercession go hand in hand together. With me again at Jeremiah chapter 27. I preached on this not long ago, but it's such a very powerful scripture. Jeremiah chapter 27. Please hear my heart. Talking about praying and fasting, I'm just very passionate about this because it's something the Lord's been speaking to me. There are so many victories He wants to win. But this, I'm not meaning for this to be a word of condemnation. And I know the Lord is, it'd be so easy to say, I don't pray and fast. I don't, it's not a word meant to be of condemnation. Maybe the Lord doesn't even have you in a place right now where He wants you to spend time in prayer and fasting. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. But the Lord this morning does want us to understand something. There are battles to win. And there are battles that will not be won without a life that's consecrated to prayer and fasting. There are so many strongholds over our generation that just coming in with formal prayers is not going to break. It's prayers that are really concentrated upon the Lord. That's what prayer and fasting is. It's just setting time aside and things aside. Indulging the flesh with food aside. And really saying, God, I want your mind and your heart. Speak to me. Show me what's on your heart. Look at Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 18. It says, but if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. So when did the Lord said, let them now pray and make intercession to the Lord of hosts? When the word of the Lord is with them. Brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord go hand in hand when it comes to intercession. How? Because when you're walking with God and His word, you have a close relationship with God and His word. There are times He's going to breathe life into scriptures and show you what's on His heart. And that's when you come under what I call the burden of God's word. God will speak right out of His word. That word will sit heavy on your heart. You'll come under such a burden. God, this is what you want to do. This is what you're speaking. And that burden will lead you to a life of really laying hold of God's promises and praying. You see it in the life of Daniel. It said in Daniel 9, by the books he understood that after 70 years be accomplished, God was going to deliver His people. When God wanted to deliver His people, when it was time to deliver His people, God began to lead Daniel through the scriptures. And those scriptures came so alive to Daniel's heart that it brought him under the burden of the Word of God. And he began to lay down his life in prayer and fasting. And through that life of prayer and fasting, God began to move kings and kingdoms and bring deliverance to His people. Intercession has everything to do with having a life rooted and grounded in the Word of God. But this is what I want to end with. Look with me at verse 18. It says, but if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now, when? Now, make intercession to the Lord of hosts. You know what the Lord is saying? He's saying, there are things I want to do now. There are strongholds I want to break now. There is ground I want to take now if I can find a people that know my heart and pray. There are victories waiting to be won now if my people will consecrate themselves to a life of prayer now. It's what the Lord is saying. Stand with me this morning.